kind of a motto verse for some of the Bible schools, but it ought to be a motto verse for all of us who love the Word of God and who profess to be Christians, approved unto God. I'm reading from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now notice that the Lord expects us to rightly divide the word of truth. Now that doesn't mean that we're to throw away part of it. That doesn't mean that we're to despise part of it, or even that we're to think part of it more important than another. It's just simply that it's to be rightly divided, rightly applied, put in its right place, used in the right way, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this isn't hair splitting, and we're certainly not wanting to make a man an offender for a word. We're not trying to get anybody to pronounce our shibboleth. We just like to have those who are interested in the Word of God more careful than most people are when they study the Word of truth, when they study the Word of God. Now, we as Christians ought to be interested in making ourselves approved unto God. If you have not received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you cannot possibly be approved unto God until you have done the first thing which He has asked you to do, and that is to receive His Son as your Savior. But if you have received Christ, you ought to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. In Philippians chapter 1, there's a prayer for believers, and he says, "This I pray," that's Philippians 1 and 9, "and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, in knowledge," that is the full knowledge by experience, "and in all judgment," or sensitive tact, "that ye may approve things that are excellent." Now, the Revised Version says that you may try things which differ. When you study the Word of God, when you read the Bible, you ought to ask a few questions. Not questioning whether it is the Word of God, certainly not questioning whether we're to go by it or not, but questioning, what is the Lord saying? To whom is He saying it? About what period of time is it said? And how may this apply to me? Now let me give you an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, he's talking about our being careful as Christians not to give offense, not to stumble or harm any other person. And verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 10 read like this, "Give none offense, that is, don't stumble or harm or hurt anyone, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved." Now here the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, is telling us that there is a difference. There are different kinds of people. I suppose if you ask the banker what kind of people live in this town, he would say those who are well off, and those who are solvent, and those who are on shaky footing, and those who are practically bankrupt. I suppose he would think of them, naturally, in relationship to their financial status. If you ask an educator about the people here, he would say, well, our people are practically all literate. Some of them are not exactly studious, but we do have some real scholars in our community. He would think of them in relation to their intellect and their interest in intellectual things. If you ask the doctor about our neighbors, he would tell you that we have some who are ill, we have some who are quite well, and we have some who think they're sick, but he would be interested in the state of their body. But now God is interested in our spiritual status. And, as a believer, I'm interested in your spiritual status. First of all, I want to catalog you. Where do you belong? Now, God loves all people equally. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't love one group of people more than another. And he certainly is not offering blessing to a limited group. In our age, we can say, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. At the same time, the Word of God does recognize different classes of people. Now, they're not recognized by the color of their skin, nor by the state of their bank account, nor the condition of their health, nor their standing in the social scale, nor their education. They're recognized as Jews or Gentiles or the Church of God. Now, the term Jews is an inclusive term, as it is used here, meaning all those of the nation of Israel. Now, why should a little tiny nation like Israel be picked out and the people designated as being different from all the rest of the people in the world? Because Gentiles includes all who are not Jews. And the Jews would form a very small percentage of all the people on earth today. And I suppose that's probably true at any time in the world's history. Well, the reason is this. God has chosen this particular nation and has done some very wonderful things for this nation and through this nation. The nation of Israel has always been prominent in God's plans and purposes from the days of Abraham, their father, on down, and will be on through the kingdom age to come. And God is dealing with the people of Israel right now. And if any are listening today, let me plead with you to sincerely investigate what the Word of God says about you and about the ancient and honorable nation of Israel, greatly blessed of the Lord, and yet at the present time rejecting your Messiah. Now, the nation of Israel was chosen by the Lord for two or three purposes. For one reason, for one purpose, that God might, through them, bring us the Bible. And practically all of the Scriptures, with a few exceptions, were given to us through members of that race. Then, through that nation, he wanted to bring to us the Messiah. And all of us owe a great debt to the nation of Israel because through them, God gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, of the seed of Abraham, of the royal family of David. Our Savior and our Redeemer came to us in that way. Now, we may say that the nation of Israel is a kind of a cross-section sample. Just as a man would sample a grain, a car of grain, and by that small sample that he takes out, will know very accurately what's in the whole car. So God has taken out this little nation of Israel and given them special privileges and many blessings, and through them he has shown to the world just what is in the human race. And it doesn't look good. Now, the Gentiles, as I've already stated, includes all those who are not of the nation of Israel, with this exception. There's a third class known as the Church of God. And the Church of God, which is not the name of a denomination or an organization or a segment professing Christianity, but the Bible name for all believers. I'm not interested in the particular denomination. I'm talking about all true believers. And this is what the Word of God means by the Church of God. This is the Church which was purchased with the precious blood of Christ. This is composed of all true believers, and they may have been Jews or Gentiles in their unsaved state, and are no longer looked upon as Jews or Gentiles, but form a third class, taken out from among the Jews and the Gentiles, a people for his name's sake. I'd like to ask you, are you part of the Church? Well, you say, I suppose so. I live in a Christian country. No, that won't do. Well, I've been baptized. That doesn't make you a member of God's church. But I try to do what's right. I know, but I wouldn't become a relative of the king or the president just because I tried to act like him or act like his children, would I? This is a matter of the birth, the new birth, into the family of God by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins. He suffered on the cross and rose again from the dead, thereby opened the way so that all who accept him, all who receive the Lord Jesus and put their confidence in him, have their sins taken away and by the Spirit of God are put, baptized into the one body. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, are you a true believer in the Lord Jesus? If so, then you're a member of God's church. We'll talk more about this later, perhaps, but for now, just settle this in your mind. When did I receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Not when did I get baptized or join some denomination, but when did I receive the Lord Jesus? Am I really trusting in him? If so, I am a member of God's church here on the earth. Now, that church began at the day of Pentecost. You don't find the church in the Old Testament. And it will continue until the Lord comes back and takes home his own. Now, let's just pray. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to us. We pray that those who have listened may make sure that they have trusted Christ and are part of this great body of believers, the Church of God. Grant thy blessing upon all in our Savior's precious name. Amen.